Hello, and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And with me again is Levi, Derek, and Devin. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good.
I know it's crazy schedule to schedule us and record around families and stuff, and I know we're trying to make plans to get a little better about that. So, and I know a lot of that falls on me because this is my podcast.
It all falls on you, Luke.
I know it does. I know it does.
A bit of it.
Levi's trying to be nice with like hand signals. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's like, no, it's really not. I need to do better. I need to take my own advice.
Well, we're here as men. We make mistakes, then we reset, and we do better. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah. And quick note, you recently gave a talk about resetting in a marrieds group.
I did.
So, yeah, that was
48 hours ago.
That was awesome. Was that? Yeah. Was it? Oh, wow, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like last week.
Yeah, it does.
A week ago. Technically, it was last week if you lived your week Sunday to Saturday.
It's true.
Yeah.
Or even Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is everybody well? Is everybody doing good?
Yeah.
It's May. Yes. We recently celebrated Mother's Day. We all have mothers, so.
Yep. Yeah, we do.
Yay for that.
No way around that.
Yeah. I mean, you could try, but good luck.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna jump into it. Derek, you came up with the topic for today. So the floor is yours.
Yeah. So I just kind of came to me this afternoon thinking of let's talk about raising sons, because each of us has one, at least one. Levi's got one on the way. All of ours are different ages. Devin, who's my brother, his son is the same birthday as my son, so his is 4. Mine is 7. Levi's is 5. And Luke, you're how old is?
9.
9.
9.
Yeah, 9. Wow. So we got similar ages, but a lot changes, it seems like, from between even like the youngest at 4, and I don't have a 9-year-old yet, but even just at 7, it's like a lot of things change. So I think it would be cool to hear everybody's kind of perspective on like what it means to father their kid and what kind of challenges we face, but also what has worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'll be first to admit like it's a work in progress continuously every single day. It's shocking kind of how difficult it can be when it's like you're raising a son. You was one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, at least for mine, he's not like he's similar to me in ways, but he's not the same as me in a lot of ways too. And so there's some challenges to go there. So maybe we'll just go youngest to oldest as far as son goes.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah, let's go least experienced to most.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, that way we can't steal any answers from those who have more experience.
Yeah. It's like building, you know.
Yeah.
It's like building on the foundation.
Yeah.
You know, like Devin's going to teach his son to drink tea when he's getting ready to do public speaking.
Yeah, this is a sidebar, but we were talking about it before he got here, and we're like, Levi's like, I don't think I've seen Devin drink tea. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen Devin drink tea other than here. So why tea? Why podcast and tea, but no tea elsewhere?
You know, I don't actually know why. Until probably a year and a half ago, I never really drank tea, and then we went and saw a doctor, and it was one of the things that it was Nurse Diane, right? Uh-huh. So like one of the things that she offers during this hours long time that you spend with her is like some snacks and some tea, and I remembered, like, as I'm drinking this, I really like tea. Like I really like the different flavors. I really like the how fancy I feel lifting and dipping the tea bag into the hot water.
Oh my.
This is a man's podcast. I can't think of the word tea bag without thinking of Halo.
The lifting and dipping.
Yeah.
Lift and dip. Lift and dip. You know, pinky raised and everything.
Right. Oh yeah.
But no, I just like honestly, I think the first time I was having some congestion and some challenges with my throat a little bit. And so I was like, well, I'll just have some tea to kind of help ease that. And now I just like to do that.
Yeah.
So I have a 4-year-old son, Uriah, and I like to say that, you know, we didn't really name him. We kind of got his name, like God gave that name to my wife, as far as his middle name goes, with Zeal. So Uriah Zeal. And I mean, my gosh, I always make the joke about we're going to name our next kid something like Calm, Peace, or Chill, something. Because, I mean, this dude, since he's been born, like, he's been something else. You know, even in the hospital, right after birth, he wasn't crying. Which there was some concern. Like, you could kind of see it in the doctor's and nurse's face, and you could kind of feel it. It was kind of a rough situation for Christy, and I had no idea what to do. So she had to tell me, like, hey, go be with him.
Yeah.
Because she's there on the bed. She had just given birth, and they immediately took him over into the little hot, like, heating lamp or whatever, this little deal, just trying to get him to breathe properly and to cry, get a lot of the congestion and all that stuff out. And then there was I forget what shot it was, but they're like, so we're going to give him the shot, and every time when we give the shot, the kid will start crying. And they give him the shot, and there's no reaction from him. Like, wow. He's moving. He's still obviously alive.
Yeah.
No crying, nothing at all.
Wow.
It was probably like 15, 20 minutes later, he starts crying. He starts building up his lungs and everything. But, I mean, we didn't realize then, but that was kind of a picture of what he was going to be like, just like, you know, just kind of stubborn in a sense, fearless, strong-willed, and just strong in his body, man. But he's zealous. He's zealous for whatever he does, and it's a lot sometimes.
Yeah,
a big challenge. But I love it, man. I love how him and Truman, so Derek's son that's just turned 7. Even with a 3-year age gap, those two get after it, man, when they're wrestling with each other. You know,
they do.
Now, Christy is, you know, my wife, she looks at me and she's like, hey, if I can't be out here if they're going to be doing that, so you got to watch them. Like, she's like, if I'm out here, I'm going to stop it because it's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's got a little bit of trauma from when he broke his arm on the trampoline last year. So, But yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I realized like how unprepared I was. Like, I don't know that you really, we read the stuff. I kind of knew the things, but I didn't know what I was doing. And really you come to find out that every kid is different in a sense. Like, they all need certain things.
Yeah.
But how you interact with each of them is completely different than you would react with another. Like, I get to see that with you guys with multiple kids. You know, you're not able to respond to one child the same way that you respond to another child.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, obviously, which everyone knows that's apparent, but it's well worth it. And there's for me, there's having my son has helped pull out when I let myself be aware, right? It's helped pull out things in me that I see that need to be better, need to be changed.
Yeah.
Selfishness is a big one. Like, man, I'm super selfish. I thought a lot of that got pulled out when I got married.
Yeah.
But your kids wring out anything that's left, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's... You know, and you can either get really upset by it, which I'll be the first to admit that I do at times get really upset or frustrated with him for whatever reason. And there's other times it's like, okay, I'm quick to see this is an area that I need to get better at.
Yeah.
But for me, what I've been realizing is now with him at 4, the thought that I have a lot of times is what's his first memory is going to be like when he's older?
Yeah.
So that's something that is always on my mind. What's he going to remember? And that kind of helps challenge me to kind of interact with him in a kinder, more gentler way. I don't want him to remember this, know, this dad from when he was a kid that was like mean and loud and yelling at him or whatever. And so it's really kind of opened my eyes to legacy. And I think Levi and Derek and I, like, we've talked about this a little bit, like, just legacy with this world and this life. Like, I don't have to complete everything that I set out to do.
Yeah.
In a sense, right? Like, there's going to be things that I want to do that my son is going to be the one that gets to do it.
Yeah.
And I look at it with David and Solomon, you know, scripturally, right? So King David is the one that wants to actually build the temple, has the plans, has the dreams, and God tells him, no, it's not going to be you, it's going to be your son. And so David's response to that isn't one of anger and frustration and like, well, why not me? It's my thing. He says, no, I'm going to get my son set up and do what I need to do to get him prepped for that. Mm-hmm. So the idea of legacy is kind of helped really, really vision-wise broaden my mind as far as what I can do. Like, I don't have to do it all in my lifetime, which as we continue to get older, we realize is more and more short, right? It's not a lot of time. Even if we live to be 100 years old, it's really not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But legacy, I can expand that and broaden that through my children. And so that's been something with having a son and that has really kind of been on my mind and my heart for especially the last year, year and a half. So, that's kind of...
I like that.
It's not all, obviously a lot, but...
Yeah.
I know I've been talking for a while, so...
No, that's good. I think that's good. Give some good background, a little bit of kind of how you feel and stuff like that. I have some other questions I think we could ask as we go through, but we'll come back to it. But so, Levi, just talk a little bit about kind of, you know, who your son is and how...
He's 5 years old, and as I was listening to you talk, about halfway through, I realized I'm going to be talking here soon too. So I was like, oh wait, I got to think of something. But no, Asa is he's not extremely adventurous per se. Like he is when he chooses to be, but sometimes choosing to do it and go for it, it takes a lot for him to do that. But once he does, he loves it. And once he chooses to do something, he does it almost no matter what. And so, that has been hard for me sometimes because I'm like, just get in the pool. You know, you got your floaties on, just get off the stairs, get in the pool, let's go, you know? And it wasn't even until just recently that he got off the stairs. He's five, you know, got off the stairs with his floaties and he's in the pool and he loves it.
Yeah.
And like, I'm looking at him like, dude, you could have done, but if I push him, when I push him too hard, I ruin him. Like it really emotionally, it hurts him. Mm. It's not just like, oh, that was hard or dad made me do a hard thing or really tried to push me. Like I began to recognize more and more and more, like he feels extremely the disappointment in a way. Mm. Or the falling short of my expectation or something. And then he just, the more I push him, the more he feels like his own fear about the thing. But if I allow him to kind of like, in his own way and in his own time, just kind of guide him towards, hey, you can do this. And if he doesn't choose it today, that's fine. And I'm here with you. Like the more I'm kind of learning to do that, the more like quickly I see him step out and do things he wouldn't have done before. And he does it and like he loves it and it's his own thing. He owned it and his confidence just like goes through the roof. So I think, you know, with Asa, I always thought I would be able to just kind of push him. You know, you just push the boys and they go and da da. He does not respond well to that at all.
Yeah.
And in the end, I'm kind of like, well, oh yeah, that was me. I know what he's feeling. I know his aversion to the push.
Yeah.
And like, I recognize that. And so then I think your willingness as a father, as a mom too, right? You're parenting together, but your willingness to come back to the drawing board. You know, it was late one night, we were putting him to bed and he looked at my wife and I and he goes, can't you just be happy with me?
Oh, wow.
Oh, dude, talk about like, I mean, I about cried right there. Yeah. I just wanted to erase. Because for that week, you know, we got out and we started talking. Like, for that week, we had been pretty like, dude, come on. What are you doing? Let's go. Yeah. Like, when I tell you to get dressed, time to get dressed, you got to go. Like, hey, man, what you know, blah, blah. And like, just realize, like, we'd been nagging him, basically. Yeah. And it's a shortcut, you know, it's quote unquote quicker than taking the time to do it right.
Yeah.
Do it the way that he needs. And just realizing like, I've been showing him more disappointment or like, dude, come on, this week than anything else.
Yeah.
And so we took a big like, whoa, okay, we got to change what we're doing here. This is about 2 months ago. Two, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, whoa, you know, and so now for us, it's the power of like positivity.
Yeah.
And positively like kind of reinforcing, hey man, Asa, you're a good listener.
Yeah.
And when you listen, you feel better. Can you listen to me right now and do blah, 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 or whatever it is. And like, we're just change. And I don't allow my face, my tone, right? Mm-hmm. My face, my tone, my body language to show him disappointment or to show him like, hey man, what's going on? You know, like that initial kind of knee jerk reaction in a way that a lot of times we just have. And so it was, again, a couple weeks ago, he's going to bed and I've been doing this more and more and more, and I'll just grab him. I'm like, Asa, I am so proud of you. And I'll name, if not one, two or three things, at least one thing like this today.
Yeah.
I was proud of you when you did this. And like Shanae said, a couple nights ago, we were leaving, and she's like, you should have seen him when you turned around, his face just like lit
up.
Like, he just lit up. And that's, it's not so much, can I get him to do the thing? It's when he gets to do the thing, what's his going to be like, oh, I finally met par with dad.
Right.
Or is it going to be like, my dad's proud.
Yeah.
My parents are proud of me. And so like, I think the way we lead him into it, I've had to change because I just want to push him.
Yeah.
Push him real hard, you know? He does not respond well to it, so we've had to go back to the drawing board and make a change. And that the pleasure of a father is powerful.
Mm.
And I remember now, like, God talking to me about that years ago when he was first born. Hey, don't, because I just felt it suddenly. I'm walking, and I was just like, oh, my God. I just felt this, like, pleasure from God over me. I hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'd read my Bible for 2 hours today or something. You know, I prayed for somebody and they got healed or something. You know, like, I just was like, what? Like, it was palpable. Like, I could feel it. And just out of nowhere, I was taking out the trash. We lived at Shelby. And I was like, what? Like, what is this? And just, and then that's when God spoke to me. He said, don't ever forget the power of a father's pleasure. And so I did forget it. And, but we've gotten back to that now. And it has changed his attitude. It has changed his responses to us. And you have your good days and bad days still, but I'm not battling that hurt feeling son anymore. You know, he's more up, he's more positive, he's more awake and alive because of just being, showing him my pleasure, showing him my approval.
That's cool.
That's good, dude. So just a few nights ago when we were all at a pool together, because reminder to the listeners, or if you've not heard before, Levi's Devin and I's brother-in-law, and Devin and I are brothers. Your Asa, I don't know if you heard him in the pool, he said, he's swimming around the pool, and he says, this is so much better than staying on the stairs.
Yes. Yeah, again, everything that we all knew, but he ended up finding out for himself.
He had to find out for himself.
That revelation there.
Yeah. I think it's pretty big, though. The more, and I'm doing this with my son with Truman, is he's similar. I can't really push him. He's got to, I can present, and he wants to figure it out, and he'll get real angry when he's doing things for the first time. He gets very mad. That is not me. That is his mom, 100%. And she will fully endorse that comment. Because I'm one that's like, let's just try and figure it out and keep going and adjust. And she's like, wants to like be a pro before starting it. And he is exactly that way. But the more they do those types of things, like letting Asa, then he's like, oh, swimming actually is really great. It's so much better. He now knows what his dad was telling him is true. But also he knows, like, hey, outside of my comfort zone is fun, is a better way. And they start to just kind of build that on their own. So you want to continue to give them opportunities to grow. But they can't do that if you're trying to force them into things that they don't want to do, where they're really uncomfortable with. Like, it's hard though, because as a dude, you're just like, just do it, just go and just do it. And I do that with Truman all the time. So my, you know, my son is just turned 7 last week, and it's interesting. I was kind of thinking about, as you guys were talking, you know, from me, I don't know if I told the story with the first time we talked on this, Luke, or not, but like when Truman was, my son was, my wife's water broke at 16 weeks. My son was not supposed to live. He had a very rough start. He was in the womb for 13 to 14 more weeks with literally almost no measurable amniotic fluid. So he didn't have really any room to move. But he stayed in there and survived until 30 weeks, just over 30 weeks. And then, you know, he was taken out emergency C-section because he grew too big, and there was definitely no more room for him in there.
Yeah.
And so it's like fatherhood started for me as, man, like a survival. It wasn't like, hey, how can I best raise my kid or help him grow or help him be the best man that he can be, you know, and cultivate that. Mine was like, hey, let's get him to stay alive.
Yeah.
And it was like that for a long time. And I still feel like I have to check myself in that, because it's like it's almost still feels like survival a lot of the time.
Because how many days was he in the NICU?
Yeah, he was in the NICU for 95 days.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So,
yeah.
You know, he had 14 weeks of basically no fluid in there to grow and develop. So he was way undersized. He was basically the size of like a 25 to 26 week baby coming out at 30 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, over 3 months in the NICU. And that's hard on kids too. And we've noticed with just other friends we met through that, like the NICU kids seem to be a little bit more intense. And it's like because they were fighting. And even at that young of an age, you know, he should have been in mom's tummy close to her, all comfortable for 10 more weeks.
Yeah.
And instead he spent over 12 weeks outside of that in an incubator getting, you know, held by one of us a couple hours a day, you know, at most really, because it's kind of what he could tolerate. So, I wasn't prepared to be like, what can I do to make him grow, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even walk until he was like 22 months old. So crawling until he was 14 months. So it was like, it was survival all that whole time, really. But as he's gotten older, it's like, he's becoming more of a young boy versus a, you know, not any semblance of a toddler. He's having his own thoughts, his own, like, his own passions, his own desires. And it's like, when we at this marriage workshop that we were all at Saturday, the one Luke was talking about that my wife and I spoke at there, we listened to a video by Jimmy Evans, and it really clicked with me in that, when he's talking about, respect is, as men, that's the number one thing we need as men. We need to feel respected.
Yeah.
From our wives and really and everyone else. But he's like, that's the same for young boys. And I'm like, yeah. So if I'm rushing my son, like Levi says, you know, and we rush our, this dude just won't listen and get ready in a timely fashion. Like, I can't not remind you, son, because I tell you and then you don't do it. So, you know, it's all, for us, it's like, we got to make him get ready earlier and earlier to allow him the 45 minutes to jack around for something that should take 10. Mm. Right. But it doesn't work to continue to push him. It's more of like, hey, here, go do this, and respecting him, like, and not coming down on him when he's not listening, but just reminding him gently with the good tone. Hey, remember, this is what you're doing. Or, hey, what's next, to try to like, to help him develop his own habits, which I think is huge. That kind of is maybe my main point that I want to make is, you know, what I've learned, the responsibility for me is to help him become a successful adult. And I can't do that by always telling him what he needs to do. I have to do it by helping him establish his own routines and his own realization of like what he needs to do and what's important, what makes him feel good, what makes him set up for success. You know, and that starts with like how his day starts.
Yeah.
And we have 4 or 5 steps each day that he starts with, that he has to start with before he can do the things that he really wants to do. And it's not, we're not hard on him now, but we'll step it up as he gets older. You know, he'll be in first grade in the fall. So right now for us, it's like routine is he gets up. What he wants to do is go play video games right away. And that happened over a year ago where we let him do that, but it was not turning him into the right kind of young man that he needed to be. So we said, okay, You can have a show on the couch for 15 to 20 minutes. He still loves his morning milk. He can't get enough of warm milk. So he has some milk and a snack while he does that. And then it's like, all right, dude, next is let's go get dressed. And you got to brush your teeth. And then you have a devotional or time at the table to do. And if he has schoolwork, the schoolwork happens after that stuff too. But that's like the routine of how things happen before you can go do what you want to do. And I mean, I didn't have that as a kid. You know, my mom will listen to this and think that she'll feel like it's her responsibility and her fault. Mom, relax. It's not. Okay. It's fine. But the importance of starting your routines and doing those things that you need to do, like I tell him a lot. This is one of the things we say, do what you need to do so you can do what you want to do, because society does not teach you that at all. It's the opposite of that. Do what you want to do all the time. Like what you need to do, what? No one tell me what I need to do or what I have to do. So that's a big thing for me and something that we focus on is really just establishing that. Like, no, you don't go play video games before you get your work done, because I jacked around and played video games in college when I should have been doing homework and high school too.
No.
No, I don't. I want it to just be who he is where that does not feel right, because it isn't. Like, I don't want him to be able to relate to that as he gets older. And he'll thank me for it, because it won't be a struggle for him to be like wanting to put fun before what needs to be, what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And and by the way, it's working. Like, it was Saturday. We were over at your place. I think it was Saturday. And they had to clean, because they had played in Truman's room, and so they got it messy, and they had to clean it up before they could go outside. Something was happening outside. I can't remember what it was, but like all the other kids were starting to get distracted, and I could hear Truman down the room like, guys, let's do this. If we do this, then we can go do this.
Yeah.
If we got to get this done, then we can go to, like, the whole time. And he's actually cleaning up. He's not just like standing there saying it. Like, right. He's cleaning up too, you know?
He's a supervisor.
And so all the kids are like coming up to him like, hey, where does this go? Where is this? Because they don't know where it goes. But then they'd get distracted, and he'd be like, guys, come on. As soon as we do this, we can go do this. And then when it was done, like, I could like hear you guys in him, because he's like, yay, now we can go do this, guys. Guess what's next? Yeah. Now we can go. Like, so, you know, sometimes it's like you almost don't see the fruit of what you're putting in your kids until you see them do something like that for somebody else. You're like, oh, they are getting
it. Oh, it's working. Because it could be like weeks and months of you instilling something, and finally you see it happen, you're like, oh, okay. It rejuvenates you. You're like, all right, this is good. Because it can be discouraging.
Yeah.
So, you know, new dads or other guys out there, like, you just have to keep on the things that you know are right and good, and don't stop, you know?
Yeah, because that's the big thing. Like, how many times is somebody going to continue for weeks or months without seeing results? Are they going to, you know, a lot of people aren't going to do that.
No.
Yeah.
They're going to quit and either do what's easy or try something different, which there's times to adjust for sure, but not necessarily so much when it comes to the character development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know this is slightly off topic, but spoiler alert for you three, and for any dads listening, with our 19-year-old daughter, we've learned, just wait till your boys are older or your children are older, and something that you've been saying to them for weeks or months and they don't seem to get, all of a sudden somebody from outside your family will say the exact same thing, and it will dawn on them, and they're like, man, that was such wisdom. And it's like, I've been saying that to you for 3 months. Why don't you listen? Okay, fine. As long as you're getting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we'll say this to make us feel better about that, Luke.
Yeah,
they were ready to hear it from someone else because you said it. You sowed it so many times that then it just unlocked.
That's
with another voice.
That's
I don't think they would have heard it otherwise.
That's a lie, Dina and I tell ourselves to keep us warm at night. So I'll accept.
Really,
I'll accept it. I'll accept it.
We don't really know, so we'll just pretend that that's the case.
Yeah.
So Luke, tell us about your son.
So Sebastian's 9. You know, he's about 9 and a half now, and he, every morning, he still loves milk. So yeah, that won't go away. But he does milk and mini muffins or a bagel or something in the morning. So that's his routine. But he's got his little routine. Then in the morning, he, you know, does his little breakfast. He watches his shows. He gets ready, brushes his teeth. He's a thinker. He's very logical. it's funny. It's like I'm listening to your guys' stories, and it's like, yep, Sebastian's got a little of that. He's got a little of that, a little of that. because he does. He will analyze stuff before he does it, and he 100% gets that from me, because I will think things to death before I take that first step. But he's also, it's just, you know, he will, it's like he'll try to break things down in his mind before he, like, says something or does something. You know, it's just, it's always thinking of those thoughts through and all that. But then it's, he'll bust out with something, you know, he'll, like, try to invent his own jokes. And sometimes they land, and sometimes not
yeah,
so
he's,
much.
Yeah, he's told me some of those at times. Yeah. So I'm like,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, he's trying. He's trying. We laugh that he's already trying to invent his dad jokes for when he becomes a dad. Yeah. So yeah, he's getting that early start on it. But yeah. So it's, you know, we've raising him was just really interesting. You know, up. You know, it's always been interesting, and you know, I know it will continue to be interesting, but it's so much different than what I thought it was going to be, you know, because I don't remember, it's like I remember my childhood, but I don't remember how my parents raised me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like I thought, you know, hey, I've got a son, I'm going to, you know, start him in soccer and start him in t-ball and, you know, he's going to play sports and it's this and that. And all of a sudden it's like, well, I should probably see if he wants to, you know,
right,
it's like,
right.
It's like, did my parents give me that option or did they say, here, go play sports? You know, and it's like, I don't remember that, you know, but
yeah,
you know, I remember when I said I didn't want to play soccer anymore. And every now and then I kick myself for that decision. I'm like, man, I was such a kid, didn't know better. You know, but, and, you know, so it's like, I remember stuff like that. And I remember once I started, I was like, yeah, I want to do this again. But, you know, he tried soccer when he was like 4, did not work well. He didn't fully understand the team concept. You know, it's like one of his teammates would score and he was like all upset because he didn't score.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much that he felt like he had to score. It's just, he thought that his side wasn't scoring if he didn't score. He didn't understand that. Yeah. The team scores, you're one, and so yeah, that didn't work out. But now he's playing baseball and he's getting the team concept, and it's, you know, tried to throw him into swimming, and you know, it's that, where's that line of wanting to just pick him up and toss him in the pool versus okay, we'll let you lead and go at your speed. And it's weird. Yeah. It is so weird being a dad.
Yeah.
I mean, being a parent, because it's, you basically have a mini me following you, listening to you, repeating you.
Mm. Yeah.
And wanting to do everything that you do, but knowing that, okay, you're not ready for this step yet, but I want you to be ready to do the things that I do.
Yeah.
You know, and then knowing that you want to spend a whole bunch of time with him, but yet you got to divide your time between work and your spouse and, you know, all the other things that are in your life and other kids. You know, like earlier today, I was in the office. He calls me about like 1:30. Dad, when are you coming home? I'm like, two and a half hours. Can't you come home now? Like, I want to, now that you said something, you know, so it's, I looked at one of my coworkers. He's got a 6-month-old daughter. I'm like, one day you will get this phone call and you're going to be like, yep, I'll come home right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like everything in you is going to be like, yep, I'm leaving work. It's not important.
It's
my child needs me.
It's kind of crazy to think about as have a dad of a 4-year-old, right? Thinking my kid's going to call me.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
In a few years. Like, he's picking up a phone and he's calling me. That's just kind of a strange concept.
And it's like, I remember I used to call my parents at work. I never thought to say, can you come home now? Because I knew the answer would be a no. But I would call my parents for, like, I remember one time I called my dad. It was summer. He's at work. My sister and I are home alone because, you know, it's the 80s. That's what you did. And I'm like, hey, Dad, how do you make poached eggs? And so, like, over the phone, he's explaining to me how to make poached eggs. Because I'm like, this sounds good for lunch. How do you make it? So
interesting. Well, shoot, now our kids are going to know better. They're going to know better. They're just going to hop on YouTube or whatever, and they're going to find the answer themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so it's it is. I'll say that for mine, you know, it is. It's like I said, it's that you're raising somebody that is going to walk in your footsteps. You know, you're raising somebody that basically is you, or you know, a combination of you and your wife. And it is, it's just, you know, it's kind of like you said, Devin, it's that legacy. It's knowing that the steps that I take now, I want him to follow in my footsteps, but then eventually I want my ceiling to be his floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'll also say as a bit of encouragement, when you were talking about, you know, his, you know, Uriah's memories and stuff like that, one of my first memories that I have is me and my dad hanging out in England. So it's that, and it wasn't anything special. I was like basically running errands for him because he was trying to like have like a home bar or something like that. And so he was going to like different breweries to get towels and coasters and ashtrays and stuff like that, you know, nothing important. So, but it was that I'm hanging out with my dad.
Yeah.
And that is one of the first vivid memories that I have of any part of my life. And I was about 3 or 4 at the time. So there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. I think about it because my first few memories are not, they're not real good memories of the, like I remember, I don't necessarily remember the wreck, but I remember the accident that I was in with my mom when she was pregnant with Shanae, Levi's wife.
Oh wow!
And we're 3 year age difference, and she was close to giving birth at that point. I do remember there was like a bunch of snow. We ended up in like a neighbor's house, or not a neighbor, but a stranger's house that had seen it, and I'm like playing with magnets on the fridge. I remember that aspect pretty good, but
wow.
I mean, I won't. My relationship with my dad has drastically changed for the better.
Thank you for adding that.
As I've gotten older, as my dad got saved and changed. But yeah, one of the other memories that I think about it a lot, because one of the other memories that I have was not so good, with like cops showing up at the house and my dad getting taken out. And so like nothing like that extreme is going on at my house, just to clarify that. But then too, like I do remember after t-ball games or baseball games, you know, my dad coached me growing up, and I don't necessarily remember the games as vivid, but I remember like that's when I felt, that's probably growing up when I felt closest with my dad, was just we'd be, you know, talking about the game on the way home or in the kitchen, sitting on the cooler, talking about what happened. And so like there's also a lot of good memories, but I think it's, my son's basically the age where I can look back and say, I have memories of that time.
Mm.
They're not so good. And so then I think about, am I creating memories in him that he's going to look back and be fond of, or are they going to be things where like, well, shoot, my dad was, I remember how mad he was, or I remember this or that, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but no, that is, it's good. It is good encouragement. Just, you know, hearing a different perspective.
Yeah.
That's good, Devin. I think I wasn't planning on this question, but maybe think about if we could all, you just did it, Luke. You shared kind of your first memory with your dad, Devin. You kind of shared some with that. I mean, for me, like I don't know if my dad ever disciplined me. Maybe it came from my mom, or I don't remember. If he did, it probably was not any kind of harsh way. I just remember him being present at things. Like we bonded over sports. He always coached me pretty much, playing football, playing baseball, and then track. And he was just, he's always there coaching me, cheering for me. Always heard him. Like the loudest man in this at a track meet was him. Like I could hear him across the whole track yelling at me in a good way, in an encouraging way, never like in a, you got to do this or that, but just like reminding me, you know, what to do. Yeah, I think that's key is the memories that we put in our kids and remembering, like, if we're being jerks to them most of the time, they're going to remember that.
Yeah.
But if we're just present and supporting of them, then that's going to be what we remember. It doesn't mean we shouldn't discipline and that kind of stuff, because I'm sure I got some in there, but it's not what I remember.
Yeah.
At all. What about you, Levi?
Yeah. I'm glad we're talking about it, because it's easy to forget the impact you're having on your son and the way you interact with them and the time that you spend with them. I don't know what my first memory is. I just remember that Thursday nights were the best nights of the week for me. I still love Thursday nights because of this. My dad always took Thursday, and that was time for him to play with Luke and I. Like, he would otherwise too, but that was set aside. That evening when he got home from work, it was Luke and I and Dad. We ate dinner, and then it was whatever we wanted to do with Dad for, you know.
Yeah.
I think then we would end the night with, like, watching a movie and eating popcorn or something like that, watching a show or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we went through the, we watched Monk, we watched Touched by an Angel, Tool Time, you know. I'm ashamed to admit I watched Touched by an Angel as a kid. As I got a little older, I was like, can we watch something else? I'm kind of done with
this
show.
I hated when that was on at Grandma's house. I was like, oh, God.
It was just way too emotionally invested. I'd be like, oh, God. But that was huge. Like, that really, really impacted me growing up, is that I knew Thursdays was Dad and I's time, and Luke, too, my brother. Yeah, and that's a really good reminder for me. It's making me, like, want to immediately, like, just clear my schedule for every Thursday coming up. But no, like, being intentional about the time together. And maybe I'm going to do that with him tomorrow night after T-ball. Like, I even took him, I forget what it was, just recently me and him went somewhere real quick to get something. And it was just me and him. And I could tell, like, he's behaving differently just being with me. Mm-hmm. And like, he was just more present, more there, like, more like interacting, and like seemed to be enjoying himself. And I'm just doing, I wish I could remember what it was, but it was something real quick. We had to go get something or whatever, and he came with me. And so like, I think I'd like more of that, you know, take him somewhere, just me and him, and then do that with my daughter too, as she gets a little older and stuff, and then my other son. But I remember, and I think it's Pastor James, he spent time like, not just with the kids, but like with each kid individually.
Yeah. There's definitely value. I mean, obviously, I have one, but like, there, I've seen that value from other people who have multiple kids, where they're intentional about the time with each as an individual, not with them as a whole, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because then you, like, each one is going to be different. I think Jimmy Evans was talking about that again. Like, we were at the same little marriage class type of deal, and you know, he's talking about, you know, there's some parents that have the math kid that they're trying to train to be a quarterback.
Yeah,
it's not going to work.
Yeah,
you know, and so you do have to have that personalized and individual time with each kid. But I've noticed that with Uriah, even, you know, at 3 and 4. Go to the store real quick. He loves it if he can just go with me. And me, I'm just trying to rush and get home. You know, like, shoot, we forgot something, or there's something that Christy needs, you know, for dinner or whatever it is. And I just want to go and be back real quick. And Uriah just wants to be with me.
Yeah.
And you do notice, like, you know, when you really pause and kind of think about it and see them, you do kind of notice just that impact they get when they get to have that time with Dad.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, Levi and I, our kids are, our daughters are 3 and 3 to 4 years younger, roughly, than our sons. We have daughters that are 8 weeks apart. But I think it's even more critical for us to do the things with just our sons and not the daughters, because the daughters are two. And they're like, you know, a two-year-old is a two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. But like, you're getting young boys just being alone with their dad without the crazy needy younger sister who's just highly emotional. I mean, they're two. They're just two.
Yeah.
A two-year-old being a two-year-old. It's good because they're ready to more to like talk and ask questions about things or whatever else, and it gives the opportunity to do that. I mean, some of the best moments for me are with my son right before bed, because it's like when he wants to talk, I really have to slow down and remember that I want it. I want this. Sometimes when it's like, dude, you need to be going to sleep right now.
Yeah.
But he'll ask the questions. He'll talk about things. And he'll say things that are like, and this is the one thing. Maybe we can end it with this: is what brings the most joy about having a son. I want you guys to each answer this. But
gosh,
you know, for me, it's that moment before bed, and he's just like sitting there, laying in his bed, and he's thinking. You can just see it on his face, and like, Dad, what about this? Dad, what about that? And he's like, and then something will come out of his mouth like, I just really love being with you. And then I'm going to cry right now. In those moments, you're like, man, all the hard stuff, or all the times when I'm a complete knucklehead to my kid, like I'm such a jerk sometimes. It's like, hey, this is what matters right here. You know, this is the most important stuff. And it's very fulfilling, and it's a great reminder. You just got to like bottle those moments up to know like, hey, it's hard, but it's worth it.
Hmm.
You know? So what about you, Devin? What brings you the most joy?
Oh gosh, I was hoping to be one of the last ones.
We can switch you. Levi or Luke, you got something?
I'll jump in. I got something. I'll say rediscovering the world through the eyes of my son. You know, good. Because I know, you know, as kids we're full of so much creativity, curiosity, awe. You know, I know sometimes at church we talk about, you know, we're in that awestruck wonder, you know, of the things of God and stuff like that. And as adults, you know, we sing that and it's like, okay, yeah, that's a really cool thought. And it's like, I remember when Sebastian was a baby and holding him, and even if he was just looking at the lights or just looking up, you know, you see this just awe in his face. And it's like, I feel like we've lost that as adults, a lot of that, you know? Yeah. And so it's like it's almost like rediscovering the world through his eyes. You know, the questions of how does this work and what does that mean and why does this happen? You know, why does it rain? You know, stuff like that, you know, and it's like rediscovering that and not just writing it off, but actually like going back down that trail of here's why it's like this, you know, even if it's something as simple as video games, you know, 'cause I grew up with Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers, and the fact that they're still making Mario games and Sebastian plays them and he's like rediscovering. And so it's like, I'm going down this trail of Nintendo with him. So I think that's what it is. The joy for me of rediscovery.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's really good.
You got something, Levi?
That was something I'm like, I wish somebody had told me this about being a parent, like watching their awe and wonder is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't know exactly how to say it, but it's almost like experiencing them as this like whole and complete person. Like they're a person like that I am more connected with than anybody else but my wife, right? Like I don't know exactly how to explain that, but like they're there and I'm here for life, like forever. And like just the connection with this other being person, and like there's so much reward in so many little ways to that connection, to that relationship that you can't get from anything else. I don't know, that almost sounds a little bit like a selfish answer, but like just kind of experiencing that through them and watching them, and like, yeah, you have these victory moments or things they say, things they see, like it's never as meaningful to anybody else as it is to you, right? And it means the world, like literally the world's wrapped up inside of them for you. And I think that's the best part for me.
I think it's important for us to really just slow down and allow ourselves to appreciate what's in front of us and not get caught up in the stuff that needs done. I mean, I'm 100% guilty of that.
Yeah.
So I'm just, but that's how I have to remind myself, like, hey, just slow down. The stuff's not that important, but the connection is, and just see it and enjoy it. I mean, my son got some laser tag guns for his birthday, his birthday party, which was Saturday. So us on a Saturday, and he could not wait to play with them. But like, we just were busy. We had so many things going on, and I promised him before bed we would play with them like Sunday night, and it was late again. But I'm like, I told him we're doing this, and we really tell him like, if we say it, it happens. So I'm like, we got to do it. It was like 10 o'clock, and he had school the next day. He's supposed to be in bed like a while before. But I'm like, we're doing it, dude. And so we played, and it, I know that'll make an impact for him, you know. So I didn't get the things, and he was tired this morning.
Yeah.
But I think it's more important to keep your word than, you know, mm-hmm. than focus on like what you should do.
Yeah.
In those situations.
Yeah. Can you read it one more time?
Yeah. What brings you the most joy?
What brings me the most joy with? Yeah, I was said I was hoping the love was the last one because there's so many things about it that's like it's not like oh I have to try
and
to
now
think
you
of an answer. It's like what's the thing that brings the most joy out of all the things like, and it's funny because sometimes the things that can bring you joy with being a parent are also the things at times that are really frustrating to you because, you know, you're in a rush or whatever. Yeah. So life is happening and I don't have time. I'm doing the air quotes, right? I don't have time mm-hmm. to do this thing, right? But I mean, just for me, the fact that Uriah wants to spend time and be around me is there's a lot of joy in that.
Yeah.
And again, like, I don't want to kind of like leave out, like, I don't want it to sound selfish. You know, that makes me feel good. You know, but like there's so much trust and love that he has at 4 years old in me, right? And so, like, dad's either going to know or dad's going to do this. If I can't figure it out, like, he's so independent with a lot of things. He's like, I want to do this. I want to do that. But then he's like, okay, dad, can you help me? You know, like, the need that he has for me, like, there's joy that's there. But again, at times, it's frustrating. It's like, maybe don't need me so much is kind of how it feels in the moment. Mm-hmm. But just the time that we get to spend with each other over the last 6 or 7 months, just with different things in life that have been going on for myself and Christy, like, the amount of time that we've had together has vastly increased. And I know that time isn't going to remain the same. It's not going to look the same moving forward. Just as life changes. And so I'm trying to take advantage as much as I can with some of the freedom that we have right now to be able to do that. And so, I mean, honestly, just I get a lot of joy out of just being able to spend time with him and play with him, talk with him, and see him grow. Like, when he figures things out and when he on his face, you can just see it, like, that something clicks, or his excitement. Like, he gets so excited about things.
Yeah.
So excited. Like, where his body is literally, he's shaking because, like, he doesn't know what to do. He just starts shaking his whole body and just, he's so zealous. He's just zealous about life.
Yeah.
Like, I want that to remain. And there's joy. Like, there's joy for me that it's there now. And my goal is his outgoingness, his ability to talk to people, because he just talks to random strangers.
Yeah.
You know, it says hi to everybody, wants to go play with new kids. He sees a kid playing at the playground that we're at. He wants to go play with them. Part of me is like, no, I don't want you to, because then I have to talk to the parent that I don't know. but again, I don't want to, because of my insecurities or because of my own selfishness, I don't want to rob that part of him, because it's who he is. Like, it's mm-hmm. part of who he is. It's part of who he's becoming is this very bold, outgoing, courageous man is what he's going to grow into. And I want to cultivate that. And so again, I get joy out of just being with my son and playing with him and his excitement about things, man, his excitement about life, you know, kind of like you're talking about with Sebastian, yeah. being able to kind of experience those things again. Kind of for the first time. It's fresh, it's new, and so yeah, it's what I get a lot of joy out of that with Uriah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's good, man.
Yeah.
It's fun and it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Luke. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Stay fit. Be well.